Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
By the way, Ed, you want to tell folks how they can, if they miss our show, Today's Issues, and they want to download the podcast, that is, listen anytime, anywhere to this show, how can they do that?
Yeah, you just go to AFR.net, AFR.net, that's the home base, so to speak, for our radio network. And at the top, there are a list of drop-down menus. Just go to podcast, get that drop-down menu, and then you can scroll. And there are all sorts of great programs. It's not just this one. But if you do want to catch a Today's Issues episode that you missed, you can go to the little colorful tag, and you click through, and then you can access Today's Issues and download it and listen to past programs that you might have missed. So AFR.net and go to podcast.
You just dodged a bullet, my friend.
I did.
Proverbially. Well, yeah, if you hadn't have known that answer, that would not have gone well for you.
Well, I've been here so long. If I didn't know that answer, I've been hit on the head or something.
What do you got, Steve?
I've got a friend on the line. I've got my buddy Alex McFarland on the line, who's not too far from Asheville, North Carolina, the site of tremendous devastation from this storm. Hey, Alex, good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
So, Alex, you're a couple of hours away from the worst of the flooding, yeah. Or what?
Yeah, Asheville and Western North Carolina is really special to us. You know, it's a beautiful part of the country. And, of course, you know, the Cove is there, the Billy Graham Conference Center that we go to multiple times a year generally. And I've preached all over that end of the world. And there are towns like Spruce Pine and Grandfather Mountain and Bat Cave, some fascinating names, Chimney Rock and Swannanoa, and yeah, as I'm sure everybody knows, they pretty much from Wednesday to Friday of last week, places got more rain in 3 days than they might get in 6 months to a year, you know, and so there is a lot of flooding in Asheville.
You talked to a friend who lives over there, right?
I did. In fact, well, we talked to a couple, one of whom was Will Graham. Will Graham is the executive director of the Cove, the Billy Graham Center, and I know we've had events there with AFA. And then Will Graham is also the executive vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and we stay in pretty close touch. And the Cove, because the Cove has lots and lots of generators and the ability to produce fresh water, the Cove for the next 30 days and maybe longer is going to be a disaster relief center spearheaded by Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. And a lot of people were texting me. In fact, I praise God, probably since last night, Angie and I have gotten 100 texts from AFR listeners who say, hey, you're in North Carolina, are you doing okay? And yeah, we are. Greensboro, where we live, is about 2 hours east of Asheville, and there was some localized flooding and some trees down. In fact, we saw some pretty big trees that fell on some houses because of all the big wind, and of course, the ground is just saturated, so the roots were weak, but what we got in Greensboro is nothing compared to Asheville in Western North Carolina.
Well, and part of that, we talked about this in the first hour, Alex. Part of the problem for a lot of people, especially in the Asheville area, but also probably surrounding areas, is that you have communities that maybe have one bridge coming in, and that's been swept away. And, you know, whatever other roads they may have, sometimes they're rural roads, they're gone too. And you have communities that are isolated and not only shut off from the outside world, but they are isolated from the help that could come to their aid as well, right?
Exactly. You know, I had the privilege of being on the Jenna Ellis show this morning, and one of the people we had on the phone is an AFR listener named Tim Bryant, a friend, and he comes to hear us preach and things like that. But he was talking about some of these communities where food is going to have to be airlifted in.
Wow.
At which I know you might think in the 21st century, you know, this wouldn't happen, but it's very mountainous, and there are tall mountains and deep valleys, and even in some blizzards, even as recently as like 2 years ago, they had to airlift food in to people that were deep in the mountains and they were stranded. And now in some of these small communities, like I think there's one called Weaverville, and Silva, Murphy, Dillsboro, just small, very historic, beautiful little mountain towns, but the roads are washed out. And another complication is this, and maybe you guys have heard this, but there's a grocery store chain called Ingles, very wonderful grocery store chain, and they've got a gigantic food distribution warehouse that takes food to their stores, plus really through the Mid-Atlantic region. Well, that got flooded. I don't know the full extent, but the Ingles food warehouse has, you know, tens of thousands of pounds of food that is just ruined. And so... And plus, you guys probably know we're on the eve of a port strike.
Yes.
So there's a lot we need to pray about these days.
Amen.
Hey, Alex, I heard that Billy Graham's Conference Center, The Cove, was shut down. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Well, praise God, the good news, and I got this directly from Will Graham himself, The Cove is not damaged. They are shut down because they're transforming into a disaster relief center, which is really good. They're on I-40, exit 55. And I had a lot of people text me saying, oh my goodness, on the Cove's website, the conferences are shut down for the foreseeable future for at least 30 days and maybe longer. And praise God, the Cove is fine. And that's exactly what Will Graham told me this morning. And the Billy Graham radio station, undamaged. It's just that the Cove... until further notice, is going to be a disaster relief center.
Well, I can't remember anything so widespread in my life. We all know hurricanes going to come every year, right?
And right.
Because of that's just how the earth works. But to have such widespread flooding and now power outages is just, I can't remember.
So the iconic hurricane that we all talk about, of course, is Katrina in New Orleans, which decimated
The Mississippi Gulf Coast, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Most people
think
about
the flooding in New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Alex, or any, if you, how would you compare this disaster to that one?
Well, they're all bad, and obviously, when there's loss of life and human suffering. You know, we care, you know, tragedy is tragedy. For we North Carolinians, you know, up on, we're hundreds and hundreds of feet above sea level, you know, whereas, you know, Katrina was down there right in New Orleans. And you just don't expect something like this. I know that they say in Asheville, in Buncombe County, Asheville, 30 people have died. And in a nearby community, 19 people died. So it is tragic. You know, interestingly, this is just bizarre, but 66 years ago, there was another hurricane, Helene, but it was more down on the coast, whereas this is... So each end of our state, the ocean and the mountains, can claim to have been deeply wounded by a hurricane, Helene, oddly enough.
All right, Alex, thanks so much. What are you and Bert going to talk about this afternoon on Exploring the Word?
Well, we probably this week we will wrap up the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 11. And by the way, that's 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, 3 to 4 Central, live 5 days a week, Exploring the Word. And then on Fridays, we had an amazing show last Friday. We call it Fire Away Friday. So, folks, Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network on Fridays. Any Bible question you want to ask, it is live, unscripted. And so we'd hope everybody would listen every day, but especially on Fridays when I say this, if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, now's your chance.
good.
Well, that, and that is on Fireway Fridays. That's when you will hear Brother Bert Harper repeatedly say, Alex, you want to take this one?
It's a joint effort.
Yeah, he tells us, though, when they get the really questions, really hard theological questions, he always pitches them to Alex, which that's why.
I don't know about that.
All right, Alex, take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Alex McFarland.
I'm looking at NBC News posted this. Story's 20 minutes old. Now the death toll is over 100.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to continue going up.
Yeah, there's
so many people missing.
A lot of people unaccounted for.
Yeah.
I mean, like in the hundreds.
Some of those are going to be people who fled and haven't checked in, or the family doesn't know where they are. But
and some of these places don't have cell phone coverage.
Yeah. Right.
Because the cell phone
coverage. A number of them are going to be lost, though.
Yeah.
It's just the way.
You know, having been to Asheville, North Carolina, like I said, five times, so it is down, as we said earlier, last hour, it's down in the valley. So you're surrounded by mountains, and it's down in the valley. And I want to say there's a river that runs through it, too. I'm trying to think. But it's a very famous place for people to see. The Biltmore is there? The Biltmore, home?
There is a river. I'm looking for the name of it. It's the French Broad River that runs
through it, through Asheville?
It's through, it's just looks like it runs right through it.
Okay, so I'm saying if you get 10, 11 inches of rain over a two-day period, it's going to flood down into that valley and just wreak havoc. And I guess that's exactly what happened. In the town, just as simple as gravity, right?
It's got only one direction to go.
Yeah.
It goes down into that valley. Yeah, the Biltmore is there.
The Billy Graham Training Center is there, otherwise known as the Cove, which Alex was talking about.
There's a River Arts District. Asheville's known for its artist community.
Yeah.
And
some freaks.
Yes, it's a very liberal place. And like you said, some freaks.
Yeah. All right, Steve, next story.
Well, kind of following up on the hurricane, the only thing I have to add to this, you might not remember this, but Joe Biden is the president of the United States. We haven't seen a whole lot of him. Kamala seems to have taken the spotlight.
I appreciate your confidence.
I know.
That he is still president.
Well, that's what they say. anyway, he was at a press conference the other day, and one of the reporters, as he was leaving the room, asked him why he wasn't taking more control and being more involved in this particular disaster. And I wanted you to hear what he said. Cut 13.
And the hurricane, Mr. President, why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command, call a telephone, and all my security people.
Is it not important for the country to see?
And he walks out of the room.
Biden does?
Yes. Now,
who asked that question?
It was one of the reporters, and I don't know which one. It was shouted out. Biden was at the beach yesterday. He did have a telephone at the beach. But
yeah, you know, here's the thing. I don't mind presidents taking time off, but he's always at the beach now. And, you know, maybe his feelings got hurt, or maybe that's just what he was told. Relax for the remainder of your term and
lay low.
But he is always at the beach now.
But thought of him or Kamala going to Asheville or touring the disaster area. Maybe they will, but
he's still president. And here's what's dangerous about him always being at the beach. Now, I listen, I'm not trying to beat up on the guy. He was unceremoniously tossed out of a moving car, basically, by the Democratic Party. After promising to stick by him and all those things they said, sharp as a tack, he's the right man for the job. Okay. So I understand that. But if you're not going to run for re-election and you are not able to do the job you were elected to do, parentheses, I know some people don't think he won, okay, then you need to step aside, because if we have a foreign policy disaster, if a war breaks out somewhere, you do not want to be at the beach on the phone. You want to be in the White House so you can head directly to the Situation Room and take control. You do not want to have to. I don't know how far away he is. Would he a couple hours away? How far?
Delaware away? By helicopter? Yeah, an hour.
All right. So he needs to be at the White House, or he needs to step aside. But that's not gonna. That's not gonna happen. Either one of those isn't apparently gonna happen.
I don't think so. I want to talk a little bit about the deep state and in our particular.
The deep state at the beach. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, part of it was there. But part of it also remains kind of on the speaker circuit. I want to have you listen to John Kerry and Hillary Clinton. These are two separate, different events, but they're kind of saying the same thing. And we've been talking a little bit about the concern that the Democrats seem to have over what they term misinformation, which a lot of people have defined as information that they don't particularly
find convenient. And the extraordinary steps they seem to be willing to take, which in past generations would have immediately alarmed people because they don't seem to hold the constitutional rights we have as high as most of us do.
That's true. Well, and to that point, I want you to hear a little bit from John Kerry. He was speaking at a World Economic Forum meeting, and this is what he had to say about misinformation. Cut 10.
You know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change. Now, obviously, there are some people in our country who are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
so
that's
you're
really
questioning
dangerous.
Really if democracy can survive unregulated social media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
So the First Amendment is in the way and democracy isn't quite up to the task.
Let me tell you, that what's frightening, there's a couple things frightening about it. I just want to talk about this one. The origins of the progressive movement at the turn of the last century, 1880 to 1920, this is exactly what people like Woodrow Wilson and others said. They said, in fact, Woodrow Wilson pointed to Europe and said that we need to be more like Europe, who allows the administrative state to make more decisions rather than always doing it through democracy. And what John Kerry just said is what the left increasingly wants to see, and that is the administrative state do what needs to be done and take power away from the American voter because they think the American voter's dumb.
Yeah.
And don't, that is frightening.
And don't cross them because they will kick back. I want you to hear a little bit from Hillary Clinton. This is from about a week ago. She was speaking at the Clinton Global Initiative. And this is what she had to say about misinformation. Cut 11.
She let in, and that's not even
my fault. Cut 9.
And boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
Yeah, they'll send you to prison.
Well, you can be criminally and civilly charged if you slander people or you know what I'm saying?
Fire in a crowded theater.
Well, ask Fox News. They went after, remember, they got, they had to pay, was it Dominion?
Dominion.
Voting machines, they had to pay them like How much?
Well, it's close to $1 billion dollars. It was $873 million or something crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can be, well, they voluntarily paid that out.
Right. Yes, that's true.
Fox did.
They didn't want it to go to trial.
Yes, they didn't want to go to trial. So I'm just saying that's one example. There are examples. You can be held liable for spreading, for knowingly spreading false information, especially that harms an individual or harms the public. So that can happen. There is precedent for that.
I would say only that harms an individual or the public. You can't be, you shouldn't be able to be.
No, I agree.
If it's just misinformation about.
Well, listen, misinformation for a lot of it is however you interpret your news.
Right.
Okay. So I could sit here right now as we have on in our studio and watch MSNBC, and probably about every minute my head's going to start spinning around going, right. That's misinformation.
Right.
Okay, you take a lefty, they're going to watch Fox News. They're going to go every about a minute or so. They're going to go, that's misinformation,
right. Huh?
So what I'm saying is, we should allow a wide, and I think for the most part, America's known for this and has observed this, a wide divergent of opinions and reporting and so forth, even if it's you would say it's characterized as misinformation. You shouldn't be able to censor it or shut it down.
I think what bugs Hillary Clinton and
right.
John Kerry,
right, bugs them.
It bugs them that, for example, we have access to X, formerly known as Twitter,
right, right,
and other conservative leaning websites who are giving information. Hey, maybe even American Family Radio and American Family News. Who are giving information that the mainstream media won't report on, and they call it misinformation.
Right.
I think they want to go after those kinds of outlets.
I agree. They want to shut those voices down
yes.
in some way or another. I agree with that. I don't think they can right yet. I don't think they have that as powerful as they are. I don't think
right.
they have that kind of power yet. And we do have, as John Kerry said, we do have something called the First Amendment.
Yes.
He said it was in the way, right?
Yep.
Yes. That's.
Now, I don't know. To give him, I shouldn't do that because people. I couldn't tell exactly. Did he mean it's a legitimate in the way presence, or did he mean it's a deterrent for us getting what we want out of it?
Well, second,
your point, I don't want to read. I don't want to claim right. to know what he was thinking, but the words themselves made it sound like, yeah, your second.
It was it's a roadblock
yes.
to getting rid of misinformation.
Well, Tim Walz, the VP president, the VP candidate, he said when we first learned he was a VP, he governor of Minnesota, he came out and said, hey, we shouldn't shy away from. The First Amendment shouldn't protect misinformation.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
He just said it like that. And
that's
outrageous. You're going like,
well,
yeah, I'm going like, well, who gets to determine what's misinformation that the First Amendment doesn't protect?
Well, we know how Tim Walz would answer that.
He does.
He does.
Yeah. So, all right, we are out of time. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks to Brent Creeley, Alex McFarland,
Chris Woodward, Steve Tiber. Shafir Botner.
Yes. And Brent Creeley, our producer.
I'd also like to thank Brent Creeley, our producer.
Well, you just did.
Yeah.
We doubly.
He's an excellent producer.
We doubly thanked him. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.